Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro-broadcasts and webcasts across our great country. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with The Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's, oh my goodness, I can't miss that. Somebody might care. It's Weasel Wednesday. It's also the third day of January 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 37 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 44 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we still, there's not very much snow, just a little bit of snow here, but they're saying there's going to be snow this weekend, but I'm not complaining about a mild winter. You won't hear it out of me. Anyways, getting up this morning, starting to read through the comments, and I read a comment, and Angel in New York, her husband Randy died, and man, what a bummer. I mean, I had so hoped, and I just figured, man, he was going to be all right and get better, and everything was going to be all right for Anna, but it just didn't work out that way. My mom used to say, ain't none of us getting out of it alive, and that's a natural fact, but it don't make, seeing the people you care about hurt any easier to take. And so, we love you, Angel. Hang in there, kid. That being said, let's see what we have on the itinerary for today. We're going to start out, all of this stuff is a part of the WFW wrestling, make no mistake, but there are ways that it all connects together, and you can see things that are happening. You can see the heat that we're causing down here at the roots simmering upward. Palestinians outraged by Trump's blackmail to cut funding. And we're going to get into that as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Bringing you The Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then, Palestinians outraged by Trump's blackmail to cut funding. And I was watching the comments coming in on this, and Jamal had commented that, well, pretty much what I would figure, the Palestinian Authority over there in Palestine is just a Israeli-run organization that sell out the traitors against the Palestinian people amongst their own ranks. You got to take this with a grain of salt this way and that way. But it does come together with some other things that are happening. Palestinian officials voiced outrage on Wednesday over President Donald Trump's threat to cut funding to the Palestinian Authority, calling his tweets blackmail in the aftermath of the U.S. administration's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Palestinian President Mahmoud Boss's office rebuffed the U.S. leaders. Why would they do that to a person? U.S. leaders' remarks as saying that Jerusalem is not for sale, neither for gold nor silver. Abbas spokesman Nabil Abu Radna said that if the United States is keen on its interest in the Middle East, it must implement the international resolutions which call for a state on the 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. Without this, the United States will push the region into an abyss, Abu Radna added. Trump expressed frustration on Tuesday over the lack of progress in his attempt to broker peace between Israel and the Palestinians and pointed his finger at the Palestinians, because it's always been their fault. Since they were invaded, it's their fault that they can't have peace, isn't it? Since their country was invaded and occupied, it's their fault. We pay the Palestinians hundreds of millions of dollars a year. We pay the Israelis hundreds of millions of dollars a day. What is your fucking point? And get no appreciation or respect. We get be slapped around like lap dogs by the goddamn Israelis, he tweeted. But with the Palestinians no longer willing to talk peace, why should we make any of these massive future payments to them? Trump upset the Palestinians last month by recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and him being, the world authority, I guess, not the president of the United States, but the world puppet. It does make a difference as Israel's capital, and announcing plans to move the embassy to the Holy City. The Palestinians, who claim Israeli annexed East Jerusalem as their capital, accused Trump of siding with Israel on the most sensitive issue in the conflict, and subsequently said the U.S. could no longer serve as a mediator. It's never been a mediation. It's just been a slow, progressive extermination of the Palestinians and removal of them from their lands and turning the land over to, the Khazar Jews, the goddamn international gangsters. The Zionist international support for the Palestinians increased sharply after the creation of the Palestinian Authority in 1994, an autonomy government that was meant to last for 5 years as prelude to a final peace deal. Been a final peace deal going to be all my goddamn life. But negotiations have repeatedly sputtered, and the Palestinian Authority has become a permanent fixture in an Israeli puppet propped up by billions in international aid to prevent a humanitarian crisis in the Palestinian territories. The U.S., as one of the largest donors to the Palestinians, and what they're laying all this Palestinians, those Palestinians getting all our stuff, could inflict great pain on the Palestinians by cutting off aid. Yet it could also have a negative effect on Israel, which also relies on the Palestinian Authority to help maintain calm, to control the Palestinians. Israel captured the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem areas claimed by the Palestinians for a future state in the 1967 Mideast War. As an occupying power, Israel is formally responsible for the welfare of the Palestinians. The existence of the international funded Palestinian Authority means Israel no longer needs to shoulder that financial burden. So these hundreds of millions of dollars that were given to the Palestinian Authority, well, it's picking up the tab for Israel, isn't it? So you could almost say that money's going for Israel. Starvation tactics, I think we're seeing here, people. The financial burden. Israel also has a security interest in the continued functioning of the authority, since Palestinian security service cooperate with Israel. That makes them goddamn traitors to their people then, right? Or am I missing something here? Cooperate with Israel, the invaders, the occupiers. Well, you see that here, don't you? To prevent attacks by Hamas and other militant groups. The United States has contributed over $5 billion in economic and security aid since the mid-1990s, according to congressional research figures. Annual economic aid since 2008 has averaged around $400 million, much of it, which is $400 million to take care of them so the Israelis don't have to take care of them as they're required to by international law. See, we're picking up the tab for Israel. We're not doing a goddamn thing for the Palestinians, only aiding the Israelis in the occupation of their country. Much of it devoted to development, development projects, which means that the Israelis are getting this money through contracts to put up, you know, build a sawdust house. I know that falls down in the wind and we can build it back next week. I can see how this shit goes on. Between 2012 and 2016, the United States Agency for International Development provided over $1.7 billion in development and humanitarian aid to Palestinians, which, I mean, they're occupied. Why is that necessary? Well, because of Israel. You know, our masters over there in Tel Aviv, the people who really run this country, and I'm going to show you people that, man, they've really taken the reins, and they're driving the goddamn cart. Additionally, the U.S. has donated an average of $100 million annually to Abbas Security Services, and cutting that funding could prove disastrous for Israel. The World Bank says there is a, not if you got another, it's not if the plan's otherwise here, people. Don't listen to this propaganda bullshit. The World Bank says there is currently no feasible alternative to aid as budget support to the Palestinian Authority, given the poor state of the Palestinian economy. Well, how can you have an economy when you got people shooting at you and beating the hell out of you everywhere you go? And you set down some roots, they'll rip them out and toss you aside. It blames Israel's restrictions in the West Bank and Gaza, as well as a continued rift between the Palestinian Authority and the Hamas rulers in the Gaza Strip for the economic troubles. Oh, it's their fault. God damn it. Can't you invade a country and have people act like you want them to? Senior Palestinian official Hannah Ashrawi said the Palestinians will not be blackmailed by the president, adding that Trump single-handedly destroyed the very foundation of peace by recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital last month, and that was the intent. Trump has sabotaged our search for peace, freedom, and justice, she said Wednesday. American officials have been weighing possible retaliatory actions against the Palestinians for a UN resolution condemning Trump's Jerusalem decision. The resolution passed last month by a 128-9 margin. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, presaged. Trump's threat on Tuesday, saying the president doesn't want to give more funds until the Palestinians are willing to come back to the negotiation. So you're going to starve. What you're talking about here, you're going to starve these people into compliance. But this really still isn't it either, people. We still very much want to have a peace process. Nothing changes with that. The Palestinians now have to show they want to come to the table and beg at their own table. Haley says, as of now, they're not coming to the table, but they ask for aid. We're not giving that the aid. We're going to make sure that they come to the table. We're going to starve them to the table. In addition to its support for the Palestinian Authority, the U.S. is also the largest donor of UNRWA, the United Nations agency that assists Palestinian refugees. The U.S. donated $355 million to UNRWA in 2016, nearly 30% of its total funding. A large portion of the organization's activity is focused on providing health care, education, and food aid to Palestine. Food. We're going to take your food until you come and agree with us? Is this what we're looking at here? In the first place, you're picking up the tab under international law. The Israelis are supposed to be paying this money. We're paying it. Now we're just muscle. We're goddamn Jewish muscle, people. In the West Bank, Gaza Strip. Oh, yeah, that was it. Okay. Nearly percent of its funding. A large portion of the organization's activity is focused on providing health care, education, and food aid to Palestinians in the West Bank, Gaza Strip, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. What you see in here, you know, you got this shit going on in Iran, where they got the CIA and Mossad over there in the streets of Iran trying to get, you know, they got this, the fraction of, they got their Jew agents over there and, you know, trying to destabilize the Iranian government. This is the move. What did we say, people? It will be Syria and then Jordan, or Syria and then Lebanon, then Jordan and then Iran. I mean, they're setting up for the goddamn, their conquest of the Middle East for their Zionist masters. And man, your children need to go over there and they need to kill and be killed to accomplish what their Jewish masters have set before them. Israel offers to pay African immigrants to leave, threatens jail. What? I mean, it is these Zionist sons of bitches, this multiculturalism that has been forced upon the European people, that has been forced upon the American people. How dare you racist sons of bitches ever say that anybody can't just cross your borders and take over your country? This is from Rulers. It was sent in by Mark Schumacher for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Israel said on Wednesday it would pay thousands of African migrants living illegally in the country to leave, threatening them with jail if they are caught after the end of March. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in public remarks at a cabinet meeting on the payment program, said a barrier Israel completed in 2013 along its border with Egypt had effectively cut off a stream of illegal infiltrators. You mean they have a border and they're enforcing it? Those racists, those goddamn Zionist racists, right? I mean, this is what they pay millions of dollars to the Hollywood industry. And I mean, the propaganda across this goddamn country. What, you don't want people invading your country? You racist son of a bitch. A stream of illegal infiltrators from Africa after some 60,000 crossed the desert frontier. We're only talking 60,000 here, people. Millions and millions and tens of millions have crossed our borders. But see, these son of a bitches know what they facilitate. They know you better nip this shit in the bud when it's a little problem, or it's going to become a very big frickin' problem real quick. 60,000 is all we're talking about here. What, they couldn't take in 60,000 of these poor refugees from Africa? Those racist sons of bitches. What's going on here? Let's look. Across the desert frontier, the vast majority came from Eritrea, I guess is what it would be, and Sudan. And many said they fled war and persecution. Isn't this why we're saying we cannot even turn these bastards away? They're fleeing war and persecution. We can't turn them away, us racist bastards here in the United States, can we? Fled war and persecution as well as economic hardship. Boy, we've seen that one too. They're coming here to your country because they just ain't got much money in their country because the IMF's taking all their cash, taking all their wealth. So they got to come to you, and you can't tell them no, or you're a racist. What's this double standard here? And who set the standard in our country? The goddamn Zionists from Israel, right? Or am I missing something here? The vast majority came from Eritrea, Sudan, where they fled war and persecution as well as economic hardship. But Israel treats them as economic migrants. Really? Let's see what an economic migrant is compared to the invasion we're facing here of tens. I'm talking, you goddamn 100 million son of a bitches have crossed our border. The plan launched this week offers African migrants $3,500 payment for the Israeli government from the Israeli government. And I guarantee you that's coming right out of your in my pocket at the same time that they're telling you racist. You don't want invaders in here. You racist. You assimilate to those other people. You learn their language. You let them take your jobs. You're a racist. Let them take your house. Let them fuck your daughter. Let them fuck your son. You know, whatever it takes, you better not resist in any way, you racist.
You hit the nail on the head, Henry. That's what's going on. These immigrants who were messing around with the daughters.
But see, we're just goyim. We're just animals. So we don't. I mean, this is the double standard you're going to see here. These are the son of a bitches that came into your country, infiltrated your government. Israeli Americans, and set this multiculturalism shit into motion. Pumped foreigners from around the world into your country, into your neighborhoods, to the point that they're hacking your kids up and raping them. And now, but see, it's 60,000 of them crossed into goddamn Israel. This ain't gonna fly, okay? We're not going. We're Israelis. We're the chosen folk.
Oh yeah, they're cleaning the toilets and they're washing the floors. The shit that nobody else wants to do, you know.
Well, we're getting to that exactly, Mark. Goddamn, I've heard that argument somewhere. The plan launched this week offers migrants $3,500 payment from the Israeli government and a free air ticket to return home or to third countries, which rights groups identified as Rwanda and Uganda. How about America? Want to bet? If nothing else, America, they'd dump them right here and call us a goddamn racist if we don't just hand them everything we got and let them rape our daughters and sons. We have expelled about 20,000, and now the mission is to get rid of the rest. Get out the rest, Netanyahu said. An immigration official speaking on condition of anonymity said there are some 38,000 migrants living illegally in Israel. That 38,000? That ain't going to, they know, see. You better get rid of them now. You better get rid of them now and don't, without mercy. And they will be without mercy because you do not invade the overseers, the lords, the gods on earth. 38,000 migrants living illegal in Israel, and some 1,420 are being held in two detention centers. Beyond the end of March, those who leave voluntarily will receive a significantly smaller payment that will shrink even more with time, and enforcement measures will begin, the official said, referring to incarceration. Some have lived for years in Israel. I mean, you know, that's what they tell. They've been here for years. They work amongst... You can't separate the, you got to take them in. You racist, you. Some have lived for years in Israel and work in low-paying jobs that many Israelis shun. Oh, they don't want to pick the lettuce. I mean, that what they told us? They just want them jobs that Americans don't want to do. And now it's every goddamn job. And they're going into the high-tech with their goddamn visa programs, attacking your goddamn... Exactly what they're doing to you is unacceptable in Israel. Who are the goddamn people who perpetrated this on us? Israel has granted asylum to fewer than 1% of those who have applied. Boy, man, you racist goddamn Israelis. Surely the world is crying out racist right now, right? Seeing as this is the shithole that's calling everybody else a goddamn racist when they're orchestrating the invasions into their countries of foreign nationals, right? They shun them jobs. Okay, rights groups have accused Israel of being slow to process African migrants. Really? How about they're racist? That's what you'd say here. Asylum requests as a matter of policy and denying legitimate claims to the status. Tough shit. They're the goddamn Israelis. They're not goyim like us. They're gonna keep their, places they live just like they want them, with their own culture and their own people, and keep them clean. They don't want these third worlders dirtying up their streets. Send them to America. Netanyahu has called the migrants' presence a threat to Israel's social fabric. Boy, if we said that, people. What if we said that? It's a threat to our, you dirty, white, extremist, racist, no good bastards. Social fabric? Really? And Jewish character. It's going to mess up their character. How would that fly here, people? And one government minister. Go ahead, sorry.
I want to know where they sent those 20,000.
Well, they're claiming Uganda and Rwanda, but I don't, they could be right here right now. We don't know, Mark. They don't, you think they'd tell us? And you got one here. One minister has referred to them as a cancer. How would it be if we referred to this invasion from the south here in the United States as a cancer? My God, you racist? You're Adolf Hitler, aren't you? Ticklet, I guess it would be. Michael, a 29-year-old asylum seeker from Eritrea, living in Tel Aviv, said in response to the Israeli plan that paying money to other governments to take in Africans was akin to human trafficking and smuggling. No, it ain't. We don't know what is waiting for us in Rwanda or Uganda, he told rulers. But you know, you son of one of these son of bitches goes to Rwanda or Uganda, and they can get to the U.S. border. And say, we had all of these terrible things happen to us. We're afraid. We have fighting going on there, and we don't have no economic opportunities there. And we say, well, Israel, you can't come in here. Are you racist? You international white Nazi racist sons of bitches. How dare you? He told rulers by telephone. They prefer now to stay in prison in Israel instead. His remarks, so if they do get to, what I'm telling you here is just with that statement, they would rather be in an Israeli prison than be in Uganda or Rwanda. So if they do touch base in Rwanda, Uganda, which, I mean, they got a straight track here right up through the Mexican border, when they show up here, we can't turn these people away. You understand? We'll be Nazis. We'll be racist. We'll be the lowest form of life to ever exist on this planet for not wanting the goddamn filth in our fucking streets.
Hey, Henry, you read an article last week, I think, at the San Diego, San Ysidro border there. There were people from that country you're saying, Etra or whatever that is.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they're here.
Oh, nice. Yes. Oh, yes. And Katie, what if we said the things that these Israelis have said, that they're going to affect our, what the hell was it, our social fabric, and that they were going to affect our character? How would that fly?
It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
These are the people who created this bullshit. That created.
Yeah, no, you remember that video that lady did? She said, you know, Europe cannot remain a monolithic country anymore, and the Jews are going to have a great. Remember that? I'm going to post that again.
Mm-hmm.
Send it in to get posted.
Exactly, yeah, correct. But, I mean, here you have the people who have orchestrated. I'm talking to the invasion of Europe, and an invasion it was, people. It had to be. It had to be supported to move that many people that quick across that kind of distance. It was a military movement.
Okay.
And they have invaded that Europe. They have invaded the United States. And boy, we just got to take it. Let them rape our women and children. Let them cut our children to pieces. You racist if you say anything about it. But man, you're not going to have this shit in Israel. You understand? Because they have a culture. These people who invaded Palestine in 1948 and set up shop, they have a culture. And it means something, people. You understand me? It cannot be dirtied or diluted by these foreign third worlders. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yep.
I was reading that the Jews were raising hell. I mean, the Germans were raising hell with the Jews, and the Jews are leaving Germany and going back to Israel. I bet you that's got something to do with this. Yeah, they have to have somewhere to lay their head, man. So Netanyahu's getting rid of all the, you know, all the garbage.
It's not a lack of room. They've taken the Gaza Strip. I mean, what am I thinking here? The Golan Heights. I know, we just have to occupy that for a buffer zone. We can't settle it. It's occupied under international law, but they're selling the oil off and under it. This is the last article I read about the Palestinians. They're getting this all set up. And I tell you, they're going to go through Syria, then they're going to go through Lebanon. And now that are our enemies, remember Jordan just last year, they were our good friends. And we're going to go right through Jordan. And we're going to go right up through Iran and right to Iraq, which is already captured on the other side. Hey, you know, possibly Turkey. And then we're going to hand it all over to our Jewish masters, because that is the base of the Zion Empire for the world. Make no mistake about it. In his remarks, Netanyahu cited the large presence of African migrants in Tel Aviv's poorer neighborhoods, where he said veteran residents, a reference to Israelis, no longer feel safe. Oh, but it's okay. For the MS-13 gang members to be running through your parks and your streets, taking little kids out into the woods and hacking them all to pieces, is become a gang member. Hey, you say anything about that, you better not do it. You'll be a racist. So today we are keeping our promises to restore calm, a sense of personal security, and law and order. Oh, man, really? You can do that and not be a racist? How is that possible? To the residents of South Tel Aviv and those in many other neighborhoods, he said. Oh, where are we at here? We're going to take a bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
I got a shotgun.
listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1237 Pacific Time. That was JB and the Moonshine Band with a shotgun, a rifle, and a 45. Not a bad idea. Now we're going to go on into this bullshit. Let's see how this invasion into the United States, how this mass migration from the world being forced on us and facilitated by the Zionist Empire is working out for you and me. Homeland Chief, wait and see on citizenship for immigrants. This is from Mail.com. It was sent in by Sunfire for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The Trump administration would consider immigration legislation that includes a pathway to citizenship for hundreds of thousands. 60,000 of them dirty niggers was unacceptable over there in Tel Aviv, right? Oh, man, but we don't want hundreds of thousands, and it's goddamn 100 million. The U.S. Homeland Security Secretary said Tuesday, while emphasizing no decision on that issue has been made and a border wall remains the priority, you don't have the authority to make the decision, you low-life parasites. You just don't have it. And we're going to trump your decision with lead. Congress is considering three options, including citizenship or permanent legal status for people who were temporarily shielded from deportation. Well, why not? Secretary Christian Nelson said in an interview, details on qualifying for citizenship, including on how many years to wait and other requirements, would have to be addressed in giving your country away with zero authority. We've got to shoot them, people. They're coming to say, we can give this over to these frickin' third worlders. We can do it because we have that authority. No, you don't. Asked whether the president would support citizenship, she said, I think he's open to hearing about the different possibilities and what it means. But to my knowledge, there certainly hasn't been any decision from the White House. I should just keep it mealy-mouthing around, but they are making decisions, people. They've made decisions in the Middle East, and now they're over there. Every day I see it more. I know that, you know, Korea, North Korea has been a distraction kind of deal, but more, it's looking like it's going to have to be war, people, because this shit in reality is falling apart on them. Asked whether the president, okay, we did that. In September, Trump said he wouldn't consider citizenship for DACA recipients. An Obama-era program, Trump has said last year he was ending. He gave Congress until March to deliver a legislative fix. The options being considered by Congress include permanent residency for a certain amount of time, perhaps 3 or 4 years, subject to renewal, and citizenship. I don't have to say it. I think you people know. Nielsen said it will be interesting to see where Congress can get comfortable with what they mean by what is a permanent fix. But the idea would be that you move away from a temporary status, she said. And see, Congress, Congress has the power just to give your country to anybody they want. Did you guys know that? Did you read that in that Constitution thing? Because I didn't. In October, the president presented congressional leaders with a long list of demands to accompany protection for DACA recipients, many of which Democrats greeted with a thud. The secretary said she was hopeful the White House and Congress can reach a deal that includes border and immigration enforcement measures. Oh, boy, if they would have tried to sell us this in the last election with Mitt Romney saying it, oh, that's what every one of you bastards has said since Reagan who didn't do it. What is your point? Oh, but we're going to secure the border. How many times have I heard that in my lifetime? And it doesn't matter anyway, because they're already here. We have to remove them ourselves, because Donald Trump ain't going to get rid of every one of them like he said he was going to, is he? Includes borders and immigration enforcement measures. She said building a wall along the Mexican border was, quote, first and foremost. And they're already here. Build a border. I mean, what the hell is a fence? They've already invaded you. And the administration wanted to end loopholes on issues that include handling asylum claims and local police working with immigration authorities. Well, you're going to take those claims fast. Not like them Israelis over there, 1%. You're going to take every goddamn one of them, because, or else you're racist. I remain optimistic. You have to be, Nelson says. It's very important. The American people have said they wanted it. We did. Last time I checked, it was like 90% said, well, actually, the election said, everyone, I'm out of here. We don't want them. But I guess you just say it. I mean, you've passed laws that says you can tell lies, you can put on false propaganda, anything you want to. So I guess saying that we want it is okay. I would like to know who that we is. It's that 25% of we and that 75% of us that's going to have to settle this goddamn issue. The sellouts and the traitors, just like over there in Palestine. The Palestinian Authority. This is the same shit we're looking at here, or am I missing something here? They are controlling us for the Israelis. The Palestinian Authority is controlling the Palestinians for the Israelis. And we're paying for it all as we live in squalor in the richest country on planet Earth. She said building a wall along the Mexican border was the foremost, and the administration wanted to end loopholes and issue, including handling asylum claims. I remain optimistic. You have to be, Nelson said. It's very important. The American people have said they wanted it. I think we should find common ground. No, if the American people wanted it, it would be you wouldn't have to sneak and connive and try to and lie right through your goddamn teeth to our faces saying you're going to get rid of all of them. Oh, yay, we'll vote you in. The American people want me to give amnesty to all these illegals. That's why they voted me in. I mean, I expect to really hear those goddamn words come out of that son of a bitch's mouth before it's over with. The devil's in the details, Nelson said, as she and other senior administrative officials would discuss a political or potential deal with members of Congress this week. You do not have the authority to give our country away. You're all going to hang. Make no mistake about it. And the president would take it up in a meeting Wednesday with congressional leaders on legislative priorities for 2018. Yeah, that's taking Medicare from the old and Medicaid from the old, Social Security from the old. And food from the poor and pumping more of these sons of bitches in and giving them amnesty. The secretary spoke hours after the president blasted Democrats for, quote, doing nothing to protect DACA reps. Those damn Democrats. And he runs on throwing every one of them out of the country. But those damn Democrats ain't. Now we're at the point where they're not taking care of the DACA people. I'm going to have to do it. Trump tweeted that DACA activists and Hispanics will go hard against Dems, will start falling in love with Republicans and their president. We are about results. We'll get you that DACA. We'll get you. We'll give this country over to you that we have no authority to give over to you because we're just going to do it. We got Israel backing us, or we're backing Israel. Hey, we're Israel's puppets. Nelson, who visited prototypes of Trump's proposed border wall in San Diego, said the president would request $1.6 billion next year for the barrier. For a barrier for what? To hold them in here? You were supposed to get rid of them. That was a really crucial element to the deal that you were making with the American people, you twisted bastard. You throw them out, build up a wall. Now, that would make sense. You leave them out here, a goddamn invasion force as big as the population of the United States, and then build a wall around it. Well, I guess you got other intentions. It's all a down payment, she said. This is not going to get us the whole wall we need, but it's a start. Trump has met a stiff Democratic opposition to the wall, a central campaign pledge. Barriers currently cover 654 miles of the 1,046 kilometers, or about one-third of the border, much of it built during George W. Bush's presidency. Nelson said closing enforcement loopholes was also a priority. She mentioned refusal by some local police to honor requests from federal authorities to detain people in the country. Well, San Francisco or California just became a sanctuary state, people. Okay, so it's completely captured by the Mexican government. It's run by the Mexican government, okay? And they're coming for the rest of it, make no mistake. And Trumpy is not going to slow it down because they don't give a shit who the local foot soldiers and politicians are. As long as they have their slave force and they sit up on a hill in a mansion with a goddamn gate around it, a gated community with walls around it, and their own protection for them. Let the goyim just kill each other. It's kind of amusing, actually. Legal protection for unaccompanied children who enter the country illegally. And are not from Mexico or Canada, and criteria for passing an initial screening for asylum claims. Well, 1%. I mean, just listen, if we tried that, we said we're only going to let 1% through. Oh, the whole world would come up and call us racist, I'm here to tell you. Nelson said he believed any permanent protection for DACA recipients should be limited to the hundreds of thousands who qualified during the 3 years it was in effect, not anyone who would meet the criteria if it were still in place. She said it should include permission to work, to take your job. Remember, he's going to get him out. Why was he going to get him out? Oh, they were taking our jobs. That's right. Everybody wants to find a solution, a permanent solution. Yeah, a permanent solution to the American people to get rid of our asses. To DACA, she said, I mean, really, haven't talked to anybody who has said, nah, we don't want to do that. Well, you don't talk outside of your own goddamn building, so I don't guess you would hear that. And you turn your, if anybody does start saying anything like, you know, we'd like to get rid of all these bastards, you plug your ears. Nelson faces a Monday deadline on whether to extend permission for about 200,000 Salvadorians to remain in the country with temporary protected status, which is designed to protect foreigners fleeing natural disasters. In November, her predecessor said she was ending temporary status for Nicaraguans and granted a six-month extension for Hondurans, you know, the murder capital of the world. Nielsen said she spoke with El Salvador's top diplomats about how their return would be carried out and said others have gone home to start small businesses. I'm sure we send them home with money. I mean, goddamn, the people of the world, they're what America's about. America's here to take care of the people of the world, everybody but the American nationals. She expressed weariness and she's weary of these temporary extensions. Enough of this shit. You give them the country over now. You hear that, hair boy? Getting them to a permanent solution is a much better plan than having them live 6 months to 12 months to 18 months. She said, oh, we just can't have them people living like that. Now, American people ain't living fucking tents out in the winter with their children. What? Who? Don't even look at them. Turn your eyes. They're swept under the carpet. But these goddamn foreigners now, they're important. I mean, they're what this country's all about.
Yeah, you know, Henry, when you say extension, you're talking about they're also getting a lot of money. That extension means extending money, right? I mean, 6 months of more money.
Exactly, Mark. Exactly, yeah. Brother. Now we're going to look at another aspect of this real quick while we still got time. Trump disavows Steve Bannon. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. This is from CBS News. President Trump, this is more the WFW, make no mistake. President Trump unleashed a scathing statement. Oh, man. I'm telling you, brother, he's showboating, he's hot-dogging. Statement against his former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, Wednesday, saying that when Bannon was fired from the White House, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. Now, what's going on here? Now, what was the connection from these elitist bastards right down to what the common man, where did that connection occur that actually caused a bunch of stupid, retarded, dead-headed son of a bitches to go out and vote for this carnival barker? Well, how did that occur? Who were the players like Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and Breitbart and eventually even what the hell is his name? Rush Limbaugh. Remember, he reluctantly came in the end and then pushed her through. Now, see what's happening here is like these son of a bitches who are trying to hijack the movement at the bottom are getting it thrown back in their face. They're getting spit on because everybody can see him. It gets pretty blatant what Trump's up to over there when the Israelis are pulling his strings right in front of you. When you can see the puppet string and the hand on him, the Israeli hand with the big nose behind it, working his wires, man, okay? And people are seeing, well, goddamn, nothing's happening that was for really us. And see, the big lie had to be down to the lower level because, I mean, they didn't have enough to do it. The Democrats had control in the communist, socialist little cabal that was together that was the voting bloc for the socialist, communist cabal. They needed, the only way they could pull a Trump off was to reach down into the lower levels, into the GLAM levels. And the way they did that was through Steve Bannon, it was through Breitbart, it was through Alex Jones, and, you know, to facilitate this thing. Now, you see, people are realizing in this blowing back the other way, from us to the Bundys, back to Breitbart, you know, all these Judeo-Christian bastards, right back into goddamn Alex's face and into Breitbart's face. And so now they've got to start doing they've got to put another plan together here. And look at the way things are going with this shit in the Middle East. Now, just this week, the Iranians are out in the streets again. Wonder who got them out in the streets. Wonder who paid for that. Now, you see, you got to get this shit going in the Middle East, because this was the Jew plan all along. We've told you this a long time. Barack Obama was an international communist, and he wasn't about to turn. I mean, the communists want control, but they don't want it turned over to states like Israel. And they really think that they can maintain control over the power factions like the Bilderbergs and the Rothschilds and the Carnegies. They think they could. They really think that they could pull off this world communism and put it, you know, and actually they would be the rulers instead of, you know, the communist rulers instead of the big boys at the top. And so it's coming back the other way. And now, I mean, this thing with Korea, I think they're sitting there. I mean, the way they're playing it, they're leaving that just so they could actually, the way they're holding it right now with what we got one article here. It says, President Trump, Kim Jong-un, this came out this morning. My nuclear button is big, much bigger and much more powerful than yours. They're keeping it right there on the edge. And the shit they're doing in Iran, this is planned. Like I said, it's Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, up through Iran. That's the plan in the Middle East. And at the same time, to hit Korea, because you see, when you look back to what they were planning for the world government, they had all the Asia section, and that would have been North and South Korea, a united North and South Korea under Chinese rule. Now, how in the hell could you ever facilitate that? Man, it'd take something. It'd almost take nuclear bombs to do it, wouldn't it? And then the Mid Eastern section of the New World Government, and that was going to be Israel, who's going to actually be the ruling for the whole goddamn world. That's going to be like the power base for the whole goddamn world for the Zionist Jews, which the rulers just flow out of Tel Aviv right up to into the shadows that you and I never get to see, into the houses of the Rothschilds and the Carnegies. You see. And so what we're seeing here is this blowback starting right here with us, pushing it right in the Bundys and all these pricks these good old boy Masonic dirty churchers who thought that they had a deal. See, they thought they had a deal in this. But the big boys, I mean, like the Bundys and everything, they're millionaires, okay? They're millionaires and they're all over the goddamn place. But they're the chosen people. They're the ones that come out of the dirty churches. And a lot of them, you know, have connections into the Masonic lodges. And so they're thinking they had a deal here. This included them. When Trump talked about the little guy out there, they thought they were talking about them. You know, like the Hammonds and the Bundys. And but now it's looking like that son of a bitch might just be gonna be an international communist that's gonna, well, take everything they got too. And only preserved in this country will be the multi-billionaires. The people who truly financed this thing with Trump, when they financed it, it had to be worked until that it looked like the common man had risen up and put a game show or a reality show host in charge. It had to look like it was coming from us, people. And they, even the ones, the Alex Joneses, the people, they're such a goddamn small little percentage of the population. And they see the rest of us standing back here. They see that 75%. Never make no mistake. They have their people on the streets. They understand exactly what's going on. That's why you have these wars waiting in the wings. They would, you know, push you into the Middle East and the stuff, but it still comes down to when they make their move. When they make their move, when they say, God damn, we got to go now. I mean, it's all fine. We have to, you know, we're not getting rid of these goddamn slaves. We knew we weren't from the beginning. And sooner or later, that has to be revealed, don't you see? Because we're going to notice that they didn't go anywhere, that we're still poor as paupers, and they're still taking everything we got. And it's coming to that point. When it comes to that point, see, they were supposed to have this Trump thing. You know, these Trumpers supposed to have gotten bullying people and making them afraid to tell the truth about that son of a bitch. You know, the people, the good old boy Masons and shit, and the Mormon church, the uppers, you know, the people work for. And you're going to go along with the program. Then they get the people that work for them. They're pushing them around. And then next thing you know, it's pushed around. Pretty soon they're pushing it down on us who don't have no truck with none of them. But that's what this was what the plan was supposed to be until they had at least enough people to get into a good war. But they ain't got it. They go to war. We go to war with them. You send the goddamn army over to the Middle East. You send it to Korea. Good deal. Now we get you, you son of a bitch. And this is the game we're playing here, people. Make no mistake about it. And Steve Bannon, the way he's come out, you know, like this stuff here, then he's, you know, if they've said, Steve, now you're going to have to make a break with Trump, but you got to get these people under some kind of control. We're fixing it. I mean, we got this thing set up in Korea. We got this thing set up in the Middle East. We need bodies, okay? I think if we tried to start a draft to do this shit, I think that they might shoot us. We were supposed to have him tricked into doing this by now. What the hell is what's going on here? Well, we're going to have to break apart to give Steve Bannon some kind of credibility. I think this is what they're trying to do now, salvage some kind of credibility at that linking point with the Steve Bannon and the Alex Jones. See, Alex Jones be a little against Steve Bannon, but they're still the same guy. They're still Judeo-Christians, and that's what it was all supposed to be, that Judeo-Christian community. I mean, it's a lot of people, even the people that are outside of the voting bloc. That Judeo-Christians. And see, you get them suckered into, you know, that Israel thing. Now, if the guy at the pulpit says, you got to go over there and fight them dirty son of a bitch and Syrians and Lebanese and those Jordanians and those Iranians, because they're going to hurt Israel. And that was supposed to get the push over there. And then this North Korean, that dirty bastard over there in North Korea. I mean, Kim Jong-un is getting some real good goodies for this, I got to believe. And this maybe, you know, a false flag here, false flag there, you know, keep it conventional. And we send a bunch of them into, we get all these goddamn assholes who are thinking they're going to rise up and hang us. We'll put them in the meat grinder over in Korea. And we'll go through the Middle East and we're conquering for Zion all the way along. It was a pretty good deal, but it's falling apart because of the internet. Because people, I mean, this is what I think we're going to see another clampdown on the internet soon. Because this is why it's falling apart. This is why they're doing all this bizarre shit, and they're doing it in quick fashion. Like the thing over there in Palestine, declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel. They're doing this stuff way faster than they should have to. But they're doing it fast because I think they're looking and they're seeing God is coming apart real fast on the other end. So we got to go. We got to move quicker to stay ahead of the wave. So I mean, expect anything in 2018. That's all I can tell you. But you, I mean, even with the Bannon thing, I mean, that was the connection. God damn, you have to see that with Roy Moore, you remember, and Alabama and all that shit. Now he's going around and, you know, the Republican and it all connected right back over there to the bunnies. But you know what? They're not treating them people very good. I guess they got suckered. Anyways, guys, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. Till then, stay tuned for Hammering the New World Order with my brother Spike Timmons on Indiana Freedom Talk Radio coming up right behind us. And, man, I mean, just keep pushing the way you're pushing because it's working. Just treat these son of a bitches like they need to be treated, and that is The Word from the Trenches.